Where have all the home buyers gone?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The government said today U.S. housing starts fell more than expected in May. It's at the lowest level in 5 months. That's after a popular first-time homebuyer tax credit expired. Now, the credit was so popular, Senate Democrats want to extend the closing deadline to take advantage of it. Buyers who were in contract by the end of April would have until the end of September to close. Right now, they have until the end of this month. Marketplace's Elisa Roth explains.
The tax credit was all about getting people to buy houses. Lucian Salvan is at the National Association of Realtors. He says it worked almost too well.
The sheer volume of people rushing to get this tax credit in April 30th is causing a logjam in the pipeline for many lenders.
He says if the government doesn't extend the deadline for closing the deals, 180,000 buyers could lose out on the credit. And without it, they might decide not to buy. Celia Chen follows housing at Moody's Analytics. She doesn't think buyers will back out if the government doesn't extend the deadline.
They've already decided to purchase a house. They've already put down a large deposit on the house. If they don't make the tax credit, I don't think that they would not purchase the house.
She says the tax credits help the market in the short term, but to really get it going again, we need more jobs. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
By the way, today the government ordered Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to delist from the New York Stock Exchange. It's not a big surprise. Stock prices for both are hovering near a buck a share. Let's check numbers. Right now, European shares are higher, about 0.5%, maybe a little more in trading right now overseas. Pretty much flat in Europe right now, as a matter of fact. Asian stocks were up about 1%. We also got word today wholesale prices fell for a second straight month in May. Big drop in the cost of energy and food. Wall Street yesterday, NASDAQ tacked on more than 2.5%. The Dow added 213 points to close at 10,404. Oil is back up to $77 a barrel, and BP stock is off about 2% in London trading right now. In President Obama's Oval Office address last night, he tried to make the connection between BP's undersea gusher in the Gulf of Mexico and the need for new energy policy.
We cannot consign our children to this future. The tragedy unfolding on our coast is the most painful and powerful reminder yet that the time to embrace a clean energy future is now.
The House of Representatives passed a climate change bill nearly a year ago, yet a Senate bill languishes. What has the oil disaster done, if anything, to move opinion? Strobe Talbot is former Deputy Secretary of State and President of the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Fast Forward, Ethics and Politics in the Age of Global Warming. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Steve.
If I'm driving a car, am I thinking to myself, or are other Americans thinking to themselves, all right, this is the last straw. It's time to get the plug-in vehicle.
If you've got kids and grandkids and hope that your grandkids will have grandkids and you're thinking about the future, that's exactly the way you ought to think. And as for the oil spill, yeah, I mean, it should take you back to a basic awareness that there are huge environmental costs that are not built into the price we're paying for gasoline at the gas station. And we are either going to have to suffer those costs in forms of increasing environmental damage over time, or we're going to have to put a price on carbon, which is what the two pieces of legislation that the Senate is now considering would do.
How do you sell that to the average American?
Well, there's no question the way the administration and its allies in the Congress are going to sell it. They're going to talk about jobs, 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 green jobs, and how the United States has lost its competitive edge. China, Germany are eating our lunch when it comes to very profitable exports of green technology. And we're Americans and we're innovative. We ought to own this market.
But, you know, I mean, I think about it. You say, you know, hey, here we are, free market. I mean, I'm wondering, why hasn't there been a market for this up to now?
The marketplace has not included sufficient incentives for this kind of innovation. And one of the things that senators are trying to do with their different pieces of legislation is give incentives to our private sector so that it will get more into this.
One day, you think those incentives will be there?
Yeah, and you put it just right. One day, pretty damn soon, let's hope. Because even though we're looking at 2050 and whether the planet Earth is going to be hospitable to the human enterprise, the decisions that are going to affect what kind of climate we have in 2050 need to be made in the next 5 years, maximum 10 years. In other words, we got to get going on this one now.
Strobe Talbott, president of the Brookings Institution and former deputy secretary of state under the Clinton administration, thank you for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
3 years ago, Walmart applied for a banking license. The retail behemoth then pulled back after political and industry opposition. Now it's attempting to get into the banking business another way, indirectly. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
Walmart has purchased a minor stake in Green Dot, a California-based debit card company that already offers the Walmart Money Card. Now that company, Green Dot, is applying for its own federal and state banking license, and Walmart plans to offer savings accounts to its core customers.
If you're Walmart, you want to be everything to your customer. Food, eyeglasses, dry goods, banking.
Christopher Whalen is with Institutional Risk Analytics. Walmart and other retailers have been trying to get into banking for years. Whalen says the big banks have to learn that their industry is just one more service.
Obviously, the bank industry is going to see this as the camel sticking its nose under the tent again.
For Walmart, it's a chance to offer a branded bank account to tens of millions of customers that have no bank account, and maybe never did, and to closely track those customers' habits, both when they're spending and when they're saving. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, Toys R Us is kicking off a program that'll let consumers save some money months before the holiday shopping season even starts. Its Christmas Club lets you slowly build up to $2,500 on a spending card, and then the company would tack on another 3% as a bonus. Of course, a lot can happen to us Toys R Us kids and our finances between now and Christmas, so you got to ask, what if you have to withdraw early? Do they put you in timeout? This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.